out there, it's called life. And life has a way of doing things when you least expect them. So I wasn't hearing the studio, and I think the studio is hearing me now. But anyway, we continue. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're going to talk about what we witnessed yesterday. Do you remember a commercial? This was many years ago. It was Give It to Mikey. I think that was like the title of the advertisement. Give It to Mikey. These kids are eating their breakfast, and it looked like they were eating oatmeal or something really not very appealing. And they all wanted to get rid of the bowl of cereal in front of them. And one after the other, they kept saying, give it to Mikey. He'll eat it. And indeed, they did give it to Mikey. And indeed, Mikey did eat it. Except the cereal that they didn't want to eat, Mikey apparently was enjoying it. It was great. He couldn't get enough. And they looked at each other in utter and complete puzzlement, because they were so sure that the oatmeal was really ghastly. But here's Mikey, and he is loving it. Well, I thought of that commercial yesterday when Donald Trump held his news conference announcing the appointment of the vice president to this position of being the new czar, the new point man on the coronavirus as it threatens the United States and several other countries. It was a very bizarre kind of thing that happened. Here's Trump essentially handing over the portfolio he grabbed for himself, because this is big. This is a worldwide phenomenon, and you need a strong person, a real leader to take charge and all of that. And he decided, of course, because he knows everything and can handle everything, he decides to jump in front of everybody, not letting people know until the news conference, and announces that he is now going to head up the effort to save America from the coronavirus. It didn't take long for him to realize that he was completely out of his league. And more than likely that he was walking into a wall on this one. He has absolutely no experience. He doesn't know anything about this virus. He has no experience in doing logistical work, the kind of work that is needed whenever there is a national emergency. This now is an international emergency that requires highly skilled, highly specialized knowledge. So he realized, apparently, that he was completely out of his league and that he had to rebound fast. He was not going to be able to handle this. So he comes up with the next best thing, and he gets Mike Pence, the long-suffering servant, to show up and pretend that they've been having all these talks and exploring all kinds of things and talking about the logistical needs that are to be expected as a country attempts to meet the challenge of the inevitability that there will be many cases in the United States. So far, there's only one confirmed case, but that is not going to be the statistic that would last for long. It would inevitably come to the United States. I'm not wishing it, it's just the way these things kind of work. So he names Pence, although he doesn't relinquish his role as the head guy, he doesn't quite say what Pence is going to do. He doesn't quite describe preparations for this onslaught. He doesn't talk about what is needed at this time because he doesn't know. He doesn't know anything. So here is Pence in the background nodding his head in agreement. He's just so happy to be given a specific job that has no description. All he knows as of yesterday is that he's going to head this effort up. We don't know what that effort will be, what it would entail. He has no job description. I guess Trump will let him know as it goes. That's how he operates. He really doesn't like the idea that he has to give up the spotlight at this time, in this hour. But in as much as he has to, he'd be damned if he'd get somebody who really knows what they're doing. Instead, he'll give it to Mike Pence, who will put up with all kinds of crazy behavior by the president, and he will tolerate it. So that's where we are as of yesterday. The coronavirus is proving itself to be quite vicious, quite lethal. And what is disturbing to the medical community, of course, is that they don't know quite yet what it is, where it comes from, how it behaves. There's no antidote just yet. And that's one of the things that Trump was eager to let us know. There will be an antidote soon. There will be. Which proved, of course, he doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. You don't get a vaccine ready in a matter of days or weeks. It doesn't work like that. And he has not yet done what he really ought to do as a president, as a leader, which is to call people together from all these disciplines who might have very valuable things to contribute to this discussion. How to prepare, how to help the country prepare for a possible disaster. How to manage the logistics of this? Where are the resources coming from? What is to be the treatment? What is to be the protocol to be followed? All these things are not yet in place. Understandably, the virus became known and highly mobile in recent weeks. But anybody with a modicum of medical information would know that viruses are always on the go. They don't stay, you know, stagnated in one place and wait until you show up. They multiply and they seek new places to go. That's why we have such a wide range of countries and territories affected already, with many, many more possibly open to infesting this infesting virus. But we don't know what it is. That's the bottom line. Scientists are trying their best. People are trying their best to come up with answers. But this president continues to do the wrong thing. He puts himself in charge of something that he knows absolutely nothing about. He does not consult with anybody. And there are so many people who have expertise in all kinds of infectious diseases and so forth. He doesn't talk to them and have them talk to us. They're basically flailing their arms around because they are waiting for instructions. They're not allowed to just do what they want to do. They have to follow orders. They have to follow a predictable approach to this. They all have to be in line with it. And that, from what we witnessed yesterday, that's going to be some time in coming. The president gave so many false bits of information, you know, that the vaccine will soon be here. This is a man who's out of his mind. And now we see at a moment like this, when you need level heads that are knowledgeable, that have some kind of expertise, that given the space to do their work, will do it. They're eager to do it. But we have this interfering president who just can't get out of the way, because it's vital to him not to get a vaccine, but to be in the middle of the whole thing and then talk about how he got the vaccine produced. It is so sick. It is so sick. And we are facing enormous hurdles with this particular virus. For one thing, it's new. It may act like other viruses that people have caught from time to time, like the flu, but it isn't the flu. It isn't. And there's so many pieces to consider here. You know, how do you regulate the movement of people? Because contact is one of the main ways that the disease is transferred among people. What is the protocol to be developed? What is the protocol to be applied? How does the nation begin to prepare for something you can't see? All you know is you wake up one day and you're very sick, you run a high temperature, that lasts a couple of days, and if you're lucky, you'd still be alive. And they're playing politics with this, especially the president. The other thing to consider, and I know it sounds crass, it will sound crass, but it isn't. There is so much money to be made here. So much money. He will not let people who have the expertise come in and manage the crisis in a logical, ethical way. They're all smelling a lot of money. They're already saying, I saw one of the quotes today from the head of the Health and Human Services that even if there is a vaccine, even if there is some kind of therapy that could deal with this virus and the severity of the virus, not everybody will be able to afford it. They haven't even begun to produce a response, a logical response. They are getting people ready to accept they may not survive it if they catch it. Because even if there is a vaccine, not everybody will have access to it. This is from the leadership of this country. This is what they're telling the people. I will bet you that no son or daughter or wife or husband of a wealthy person will ever have to bother about that. And they know it. There is a ton of money to be made, and that's their primary focus, to control the entire thing. This is a crisis now, a national crisis, to take control of it. That's the president's first order. He is going to control this. He understands how they behave, you see. In the middle of a crisis like this, the people who actually run the country or who have influence to run the country, they're not willing to let go of their position, and they're well placed to make a lot of money. It goes without saying. Some people will die, no question. But you got to understand, this is what happens. We will do the best that we can, but we start out letting you know, you the people, that not everybody is going to come through this alive. So, yes, you're reading my mind. I can hear you. I can hear you reading my mind. A whole subset of considerations automatically kick in. And that's what they want to prepare us for, or to prepare themselves for. Who will live? Who will die? Who will have access? Who won't? Who gets treatment? Who does not? Of all the people that you could select in this country, and they are available, and they have the expertise and the experience, you choose Mike Pence. If it weren't so bizarre and inexcusable, it would almost be funny. And you choose Mike Pence for one particular reason, and that is, he's weak. He wouldn't stand up to you. He wants to go along with the program, stay for as long as he can, build up his retirement money, and any other bennies that he can get that would translate into financial security. So he's your guy. He's Mikey. You gave him some Quaker Oats yesterday, and he took it. He's happy. He doesn't know what he's there to do. He doesn't yet have any direction. He knows nothing about this part of the universe. Treating pandemics. No idea. But he's in, and he's happy because the president gave it to Mikey. That's right. He's in. He's on the inside. This is an atrocity in the making. You don't have to guess it. You don't have to be surprised when it happens. You just know. A leader behaves differently when the enormity of the situation presents itself. And the leader concludes, you need all hands on deck. Everybody who has something to contribute. We need to sit down quick and talk. We need to come up with a plan of action. We don't yet know what we need to know, but we know enough, and that is there has been an unleashing of a virus. Now, whether this is germ warfare or whether this is just a natural evolution of things, we don't know. But for now, what we need to know more than anything else is, what are we to do? How could we, even though we don't know all the details, we know enough to know that there are things that we can do to attenuate the impact until more is known and we have a better handle on treatment and even waiting for a vaccine or whatever it is. That vaccine is not going to be ready, not in time to save thousands and thousands of people who in that time will be infected and probably dead. But they're playing politics. And a lot of underhanded, illegal, unjust things happen in a time of crisis because people are so concerned with this huge issue that they must handle. They've got to deal with it. They don't have time to sit down and investigate and try to figure out who is doing the right thing, who is doing the wrong thing, who is doing nothing. Money is needed right away to start this and to start that and to buy this and buy that, and it will materialize. Who is keeping check of all of these things? This is when the looting begins. This is where the looting is. Who is going to not want to have enough face masks available? They already said. They need 300 million face masks more. Well, money has to be coughed up to do that. So if they're taking it from this pot, it means the other pot, where it used to be, is going to be that much emptier, you see? And in this fury of activity, nobody's paying attention. This is where the big looting happens. They'll say, oh, how crass of you, how tacky of you to talk about this kind of stuff when we are facing or trying to figure out how we confront this potential disaster. Well, my point is, we've been through this before. Not with something called the coronavirus, but we've been through this before. We'd have massive floods. We've had massive displacement of people. People needing food, people needing beds and blankets and so forth. All that money has not yet been accounted for. And at a time like this, people are likely to say, who cares what it costs? Who cares about what money has to be laid out? We're talking about human lives here. Exactly. That's when an American life has many, many aspects of, how should I say, value. Because they get traded. All these things are the people who control the ebb and flow of money and influence and power. This is where they really have expertise. They decide who's going to get what. They decide what false budgets they can contrive. Yes, they'll buy a couple of blankets and there'll be a couple of gurneys, but a lot of money is going to start flowing, if it hasn't already, into pockets we know nothing about. This kind of a disaster is a joy for many people in the United States of America. And we can't put it beneath the president and his group. We can't put it beneath them that a large part of their concern would be who gets the money, who gets to control. They initially said about $2 billion, which is nothing. They've already made the case, this, if it hits the way people are predicting, this is a $1 trillion event. That is before they add on all the add-ons. Oh, I hate to be cynical, but trust me, that's exactly the way it's going to work. By now, and we have seen, it's now months that we have seen this disease take root. We've seen the evolution of it. It becomes more and more treacherous. It takes lives. People are not prepared. Governments are not prepared. All kinds of considerations you think would not be associated with times like this, which is making money. Making money, top priority. But that's just by thinking. So we will see where Mikey goes with this. And we will see how soon it would dawn on this president and now his chief potentate on pandemics, how they handle the crisis, or how they intend to handle the crisis. It hasn't even hit yet, and the signs are very disturbing. In this regard, I think we should begin ourselves, all of us, to begin to plan what we need to do to sustain our lives and the lives of our loved ones. It's not about trying to scare people or trying to exaggerate what, you know, what might happen. It's just a practical thing to do. You'll want to think about your water supply. You'd want to think about your medications and making sure you have an ample supply to take you through a considerable time, maybe a month and a half. You'd want to talk to your neighbors about how to group energies together so that everybody comes through and everybody is reasonably stable. You'd want to know who are the very ill people in your community that you would want to especially look out for. You would want to locate a physician who, if anything crazy should happen, could still be available to you. You would want to talk with your family members about what is occurring now and what the whole family might have to be prepared for, because it's already happening in other parts of the world. We don't need to wait. And what's the worst that could happen? You'll have a lot of water available in your house, but that's not a bad thing. You want to have foods that could last and that would take very little to prepare, but will sustain you. You know, these kinds of things, start thinking about these things and planning for them. Not from the perspective of you're going out of your mind and out of your wits because the world is going to come to an end. No, take a proactive approach. That you're thinking ahead and you're planning for eventualities in your own way. You must talk to every member of your family. They must know. You plan how you're going to get through this together with your neighbors as well. It is daunting as it is, it will be hopeless without a plan, some kind of plan. So do some thinking, not out of fear. Never act from a position of fear. You're concerned, but you still have to keep your wits about you. You cannot rely on this administration to even tell you the truth about what is going on. Even now, it hasn't told the country, it hasn't told the American people the truth about any of this. So you make your plan. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be, you know, like a war plan, but it's a plan for survival. That you wouldn't be caught in a bad space if things were to happen that are beyond your control. I'll take a break now and come back to your ideas and comments right after this break. Thank you. listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about the lack of information that we have so far about what the country is facing. It's facing a major crisis. It could go even beyond crisis and become a catastrophe. And we are beginning to discuss what we need to do to make sure that we have some way to survive. 888-874-4888 is the number to call to be in on this discussion. And remember, we are not scaring ourselves. We're not doing that. We're not giving into fear. We're not doing anything that screams that all is lost. Not at all. We certainly are doing this because we appreciate the facts that things are happening, that we need to begin to react to in a proactive way. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Greetings, Eutrice.
Hello, how are you?
Hanging in there.
Good. That's positive.
Hey, I'll start off with this joke because I never get it in before you hang up on me. How do fish get high?
How the what?
How do fish get high?
I have no idea.
Seaweed.
Oh, God, that's a groaner. That is a groaner. Hey. All right, let's get to the subject because we have a long line behind you.
All right, it's better to laugh than cry, right? Yeah. All we know...
I have to chuckle.
Yeah, for all we know, Eutrice, and we don't know that much because they never really tell us the truth about anything, they might have already have a vaccine before they released this thing. So this is the way they get people to line up voluntarily to get vaccinated. What Gary Null has been talking about, this was on the horizon, that they were going to make it mandatory for everybody to get vaccinated, not just little children and newborn babies. Now, this is the ideal way, and I already spoke about this like a month ago, to have us voluntarily line up to get vaccinated. And
we don't know. I mean, we don't know, and I'm always cautioning people not to jump to conclusions that we have no proof of.
Right.
Even if you think it's a plausible explanation, you would want to not take us along the route of conspiracy theories.
Right. I was wondering why Trump kept going over to China to talk with the Chinese president so much lately. Maybe this has all been planned in. But, as far as those masks go, I've seen people last month in Florida here in the supermarket walking around with masks on their face already. So this was before they even talked about it. People are already doing that. And you know, when in the Wild West, when they used to hold up the stagecoach and the guys, they just pull a handkerchief up over their face, you could probably use something like that. It'd be just as effective. So
the masks have particular kinds of filters, and these filters help to hold off the invasion of the particulates that make you sick. So that's why they recommend masks and not handkerchiefs in front of your nose and mouth. They're not nearly as effective. Thanks for getting us started today. Al from Long Island, you're on the air.
Yes. I think in your opening monologue there, you forgot one key point here from Vice President Pence. What he's probably going to do as soon as he left that meeting was pick up the phone and call the Clinton Foundation and ask for the plan that they used in Haiti. That would be a well-documented strategy.
But really, what do you think is going to be the approach here? The signs that Trump has given us are already very disconcerting.
Well, you see, what being a businessman, what Trump did was he, just like in business, you form a project team, and you, ahead of that team, you put someone who is not knowledgeable of the technology or the business or anything else. He is just the head of the project. So on the first meeting they'll have, he'll call all the people that should have been appointed to that position, and he'll sit down and say, listen, I really don't know much about this. I'm going to depend on you guys. This is what happens in the real world. Now, I want you to begin formulating a strategy, and let's meet together at 3 o'clock and see what the preliminary plan looks like. And that's what's going to happen. And he's going to take that plan formulated by all the members of the team, and he's going to present that to Trump. That's the way it works in the real world. And everybody in that meeting is going to say, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Happens every day in the real world.
I know, and you suddenly you're at the meeting, and you hear certain things that ring very familiar to you, because it was your idea.
Exactly. Right.
That's what do you think? I mean, not reacting from a position of fear, as I said before, but where do you think this will be going? What is going to happen, you think?
Well, looking at it from a business model, I think you already hit the points. The people are, you know, how can we make, from a business point, how can we maximize the profit of this crisis? And how far can we continue to move this crisis along to maximize the profit even further? Okay, and the first step is that we need to implement the fear among the people. Justified or not, but that's what will help them maximize the profit. You see, like you said before, the bottom line is how much money can we make on this situation? And what we're going to see now is every week, Pence will come out and he'll make a little speech, you know, like we're moving along, we're getting some good vibes, some good feedback, you know, little things that mean nothing, really.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree with you there. Thanks for calling, Al. Good to hear from you today.
Okay.
Maat, you're on the air, Maat.
Yes, greetings always to the beloved family.
Thank you.
A couple things.
And to you too.
And thank you, Utrice. I think you made some excellent points in your analysis. And the other day, it was good to hear you embrace the callers, because community now is so key. And we need to keep our blood pressure down, or as regards when we disagree on particular points with each other. But I'd like to say, Dr. Cass Ingram brought us oil of oregano, and he has stuck himself with something he hadn't had a name for in terms of a virus. So that always seems to work. So we need to stock up. And, of course, Gary always has excellent, excellent ideas. But one of the things about having Trump as president is we know he's someone who's a compulsive, pathological liar. He doesn't, I don't usually agree with George Will, but George Will put it as his disorderly mind. And so we can expect both the lies, the cluelessness, and the fantastical. And as one example of the fantastical is when he the stock market really had a big, big downturn Monday and Tuesday. The so-called debate was Tuesday night. Wednesday, there was some correction, much, much smaller, lesser downturn. Yet he turned that 180 degrees in the middle of this oncoming climate crisis, telling us, oh, I think the stock market crashed because of the Democratic debate. So we're dealing with much of nonsense. We need to arm ourselves, and we also need to deal with issues of community, because I feel very close to this radio family, but when you're dealing with us folks on a regular basis and trying to connect, there's something that is so wrong there that it's hard to put into words.
Well, I'm saying whatever it is, we have a reality confronting us now for which we have no excuse to be uninvolved, because now it literally relates to survival of ourselves and our family. As you know, I'm a big proponent of community. The community is ultimately our strength. And we have to draw on the many strengths in the community whenever we confront a crisis. But again, I mean, we are out of whack in so many ways, but I don't want to dwell on that. I want to say that when times like these arise, we have to make the effort to join with each other in some kind of a communal act of survival. We shouldn't look to Donald Trump for leadership. It's not been there so far, and it won't be there. So the only leadership we have is our own. Let's take it as far as we can go in furtherance of our communal survival. That is really what is important. And I think we will find that we have it and have had it in us all this time to assume leadership over where we live and how we live. And we don't have to be at the mercy necessarily of a government ruled by a president who is not of sound mind.
You got that right.
We don't have to wait for that to happen.
Disorderly mind.
He can easily get on his plane and go someplace, maybe pick a country, just puts a map up on the wall. We'll go there until this blows over.
Utrecht, they have underground bunkers that are full cities, you know, with everything that you could imagine. Probably gourmet chefs, too, and lakes and what have you. So we're going to be left out in the cold, so we better get the community piece together. I like to see the glass half full, but especially with these algorithms running things now, the community is very fractured, so we have to start with community of one and hope to reach out. But you know, the Buddhists talk about the gesture of fearlessness, which you were saying that about no fear. But this very well might be the crisis that we was hoping Trump wouldn't be in office when it happened.
Well, let's try and, you know, implement something that puts us in a position of a bit more security. You have enough water to drink. You have enough non-perishable foods. You know, get that part together. You must have a meeting with your family and friends, even, about how you're going to operate should things come to it, where you life is going to be severely interrupted. So you have to have these kinds of conversations, not to scare people, but to let them know this is about readiness. You're getting your family ready, your neighbors ready, yourself ready. Thanks so much for calling in today.
Thank you.
Noel from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hello, Noel.
Yes, yes. Hi, Utrice. Yes, I just want to bring some Utrice TV to everybody. The mask that you must use for the respiratory virus that's out here is the N as in Nancy 95 high particulate mask. That's the mask. The other ones that, like, if you're sawing wood or whatever the case may be, those cheap masks that you buy at a five and dime store, those are not good enough. They must be N as in Nancy 95s. So that's the mask that must. So just running out having a mask or a headscarf over your nose, it's like putting a tennis ball through a basketball hoop. So it must be high particulate, 6 microns or less is what the N95 is rated at.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad that you put a scientific label onto it, because this is going to be very, very important if people are going to be using masks, or they expect that there will come a time when they'll have to put on a mask. You have to put on the right mask, and there's time, I'm sure, that you can look around your neighborhood and find out who has these masks and get yourself a couple. And just have them there, they're ready to go. If they're not needed, well, praise the Lord. But if they are, you're ready. Thanks, Noel. Is this Noel? Okay. All right, I know an excellent police officer named Noel. And he had been so helpful to many community groups. And of course, I see he continues the tradition of passing information along. So I just will repeat what he just said. The mask you're looking for is the N95 high particulate mask that filters out the very tiny particles that are associated with the infection to a better degree than any other kind of mask. So go take a look for that and have yourselves a stash of those in your house. Just keep them there and put aside all of the things that you would typically use in a major catastrophe, that you little by little, you plan what you need. Make a list of the things that you feel that you need to have, and little by little, get them and store them. And talk to your neighbors about that too. Well, we've come to the end of the program today, and I'm glad that you're taking it in the spirit. Don't be depressed about it. Be practical. And, you know, like a laser beam, see to yourself and your family. Get things ready, not for an apocalyptic time, but the way this virus is going, the way it is spreading, it's only a matter of time that it would reach us in an unavoidable way. So get prepared. Little by little, get yourself in a situation where you can prolong your life in very practical ways. And, you know, you will feel better when you do so and take a leadership position in your family and in your community. Again, not from a position of fear, but from an affirmative position of saying, we encourage everybody to begin to prepare for this so that it doesn't catch us flat on our feet. Okay? I thank you so much for listening. I thank you for your attitude. This is so, it is so uplifting. when you're talking with people and they're not screaming their heads off and running off, muttering to themselves, but it was just meant to jiggle you a little bit to begin to move purposefully on this particular project, because it's about you, it's about your family, it's about your neighbors. And see to it that however you prepare, that you prepare. You have enough water, you have enough perishable foods that could last 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You know what to do to stretch that and make the little bit that you have go a long way. I thank you for listening. Tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday, and we'll see each other tomorrow. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.